just human nature. The law starts out very simple. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. How can you say it better? But shortly there became 10 commandments. And by the time Jesus comes along, there are 632 laws. And so it's logical why that scribe would say, which is the greatest? It was a kind of a common question in Jesus' day. How do we re-simplify this? How do we get to the core of this? What is the significant command? Well, I say it's human nature because you look at the United States. We start out with a constitution and a few laws, and Congress passes laws every session, and they just build, and I don't know how many tens of thousands of laws there are in the United States. And so it takes a lawyer to get you through certain things. And that's why the Pharisees existed, because they were the lawyers. They were the ones who studied the law. They were the experts who would advise other people. And so this scribe asks Jesus, you know, you're kind of an expert. What do you say is the central command? And so Jesus goes back to the Shema. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. This was so important to Jews that they would write it out on little pieces of paper and wrap them up tightly and put them in phylacteries, these little leather pouches. And then they would put those on leather strings and either fasten them around their wrist, or sometimes they would put them on their head so that as they're walking along, it would slap against their cheek and remind them that this is central to their life. And in much the same way that we would wear a scapular or a medal or something like that. There was a service at the synagogue here in Manhattan on Friday night to commemorate that tragedy in Pennsylvania. And I went to it, and there was one young woman who said, I'm Jewish, although I haven't been to temple for quite a while. But she said, I wear the Shema, and she pulled it out of her blouse, and it was on a leather strap. And I thought, isn't that interesting that they're still doing that today? A wonderful testimony of how central our relationship with God is in terms of our whole life and the way we live. We've been reading from the letter to the Hebrews about the great high priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we've pointed out before that there's really only one priesthood in Christianity, and that's the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But we are all, through baptism, participators in that priesthood, sharers. We do not have a priesthood of our own by baptism, but by baptism we are sharers in His. And so we have a similar intercessory role that participates in His intercessory role. So the reading today pointed out that in the Old Covenant with the Levitical priesthood, priests had to come with each generation because they kept dying off, so there were many priests. And they had to keep offering the sin offerings and the sacrifices over and over again because they were never perfect. No one was ever able to live the Shema completely because all humans have some conditions, some reservations. And we all know that even after we've gone to confession, we know that we're going to sin again. So we just have to keep repeating this over and over again and gradually grow into some kind of holiness, but it doesn't come completely naturally to us. Jesus lived the Shema perfectly because that's who God is. In God, the three persons are offering the Shema all the time. Each of them is unreservedly giving their complete selves to the other two. And Jesus, in human form, when he takes on flesh, he lives that in a human body. Complete gift of self. And of course, that's culminated on the cross, but it characterizes Jesus' whole life. He's never about himself. He's always worried about the other. He puts himself in danger. He risks his life over and over again by doing things that are against the laws like curing on the Sabbath, like touching dead people, you know, to raise them from the dead. These are strictly against the law. They would make Jesus impure so that he would have to go through elaborate purification processes before he could enter the temple again. But ultimately, they got him killed. Because Jesus' whole life is about death. It's about the giving of oneself ultimately and without any reservations. So if we're sharers in Christ's priesthood, then that's what we do every Sunday morning here. We offer ourselves. Now, we don't do it completely. We're incapable of doing it completely like he did. But ours is joined to his at the altar. And that makes it perfect. Our imperfect self-offering is made perfect by joining it to his. We in our humanity, we the church, feeble and sinful as we are, we're still made perfect by our association with Christ. And so in the same way that he lives forever to intercede for the salvation of the world, we who are sharers in that same intercessory priesthood, we offer our lives along with his for the salvation of the world. And so the Eucharistic prayer always is a prayer for not so much our own salvation, because we feel assured of that by the cross. But we're not worried about ourselves. We're worried about the rest. That's what priests do. They worry about the rest. And so we offer our lives for the salvation of the world. And in a few minutes, we're going to have our intercessory prayers, the great universal prayer. And so we're going to be praying for the living and the dead. We're going to be praying for the sick. We're going to be praying for all those in any kind of distress. We are sharers in Christ's priesthood, and we worry about the rest of the world. November is the month of the dead. And that comes from the feasts of All Saints and All Souls Day, which we celebrated a few days ago. And so November is the time when Christians pray for the dead. Now, we have Memorial Day, and that's a national holiday, and lots of people decorate graves on Memorial Day, but that's a national thing. The church's time to pray for the dead is November. So if you can grab a nice day anytime during this month, it would be wonderful to visit a cemetery and decorate the graves of your loved ones. But even if you can't get to the cemetery, remember that this is the month that we particularly pray for the dead. And we have our memorial book back there. Many of you know about that. You're free to write the names of your loved ones in that book. And all through this month, we offer our intentions for the people in that book. But this weekend, we honor particularly those who have died from our parish in the last year. And so we have these candles here. Many of you are familiar with this. We do it every year. And so the families of those people have been notified, and some of them are here to light the candles. And then, of course, you know, in this past year, our beloved Father Worth died. And so I'll be lighting the candle for him.